Carrie Eldridge. She's the director of Franklin Williamson Bi-County Health and our guest this morning. Good morning, Carrie. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. We've got the first new area of resurgence, of course, that began at 12:01 a.m. Before we get to that, your number yesterday was startlingly high, 124. That's a new record within the Bi-County Health area, isn't it?
It is. It's been our highest number this far. COVID's everywhere now. It's in the churches. It's in the schools. It's in the homes. It's spreading. It's everywhere.
Community spread. I spoke with Dr. Jeff Rippett about that issue. You know, it's just a term, but when you look at it and start, as you did, kind of categorizing it, that it's everywhere. Church, daycares. I got a letter about some schools yesterday concerned about the way the schools were handling it. I think you probably heard that as well. What I figured from your numbers yesterday, you had 124 new positive cases and two deaths, a female 50s in Franklin, female 80s, Williamson County. But the fact you just have some really, 35 in Franklin, I think 89 in Williamson?
Actually, it's 34 Franklin, 90 in Williamson. And it's spreading in our long-term cares too. So it's just all over the place right now. This is our second wave of the virus. So it's really important to do those three W's: wash your hands, wear your mask, and watch your distance. We have to remember these. We can't be laxed in these prevention measures because COVID. Again, I know I've preached this every time we've talked, Tom, but COVID is still here in this area.
All right, what do you consider the most significant issues about this tier two resurgence mitigation for people who are in business and going out? What would you tell them the most significant changes as of midnight last night?
Well, with the tier two, the most significant changes is limiting the number of people. The tier two is very similar to tier one, but they've just added a couple of different things to each setting, which would be your bars, restaurants, meetings, organized groups. But the thing that's really stuck out to me when I looked over it was they're just trying to eliminate the groups of people. And by doing this, we want to try to get a handle on this virus.
No indoor service. Bar patrons should be seated outside at tables only. Tables 6 feet apart. I think that no indoor service may be one of the more significant issues under the bars heading. And when you look in the restaurant heading, no indoor dining or bar service. I think when it comes to this issue, because, Carrie, here's a fact that I think if you've got to be listening close to get it, there was a conference call on Sunday. Were you on that with the mayors and IDPH?
No, I wasn't on that call.
The head of the Illinois State Police was, and that's when I was told that my first the increasing pressure from the governor's office for enforcement on your part.
Sure, I said, this is no different than Tier 1. No indoor service was issued in Tier 1 as well. And, we understand that the bars, the restaurants want to remain open. They want their employees to remain employed. But right now, we really have to get a handle on this virus, because if we don't, this virus is just going to keep spreading.
So what can you tell us about the pressure to on enforcement? I mean, I've got literally people texting saying, I'm seeing, it doesn't look like we're enforcing the rules. That's been a contentious issue. I mean, I've talked with law enforcement and legislators and elected officials and say, look, I don't have the tools to do the enforcement that the governor's office feel we should be doing. I don't have an ordinance that says you have to do that, and I don't think I'd be able to get the city council to vote yes on the ordinance. I've heard this from a number of people.
Well, it takes a whole team approach. So, it takes all of us to come together and to try to come up with something to, make sure that everyone is doing their part in order to try to combat this virus within the bar setting or the restaurant setting?
You know, I think the significance of what's going on, let's take a look at the calendar. All right, here we are on November 11th. So the clock is ticking on Tier 2. If we do not have this under control by 11:25, the 25th of November, we go to Tier 3. Much more significant mitigations. And so hypothetically, we don't control this between now and the 25th, and the governor comes out at 2:30 in the afternoon in his COVID briefing, and he says, okay, the numbers aren't down in Region 5 sufficiently, so we're going to Tier 3, and we're going to give you 3 days. That means you get Thanksgiving, and then Black Friday, and then the 28th, Saturday, the first official shopping weekend of the holiday season, where we could actually be under much more significant mitigations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we keep seeing the test positivity rise. You know, right now, as of 11/7, Region 5 is at 12%. The 7-day rolling average is 11.8%. It's quite far away from, you know, being 8%. So we really, really have to get that handle on this virus. Again, I know I sound like a broken record, but if we don't get a handle on this, we will go into more severe mitigation measures. And I know that nobody wants to hear that, but until we get a handle on this virus, we need to start, again, practicing those prevention measures.
Highest numbers we've seen within the SIH system. Heron Hospital reports this morning 23. Carbondale Memorial Hospital reporting 27, and I think two awaiting positive tests to see whether they're admitted in the COVID wing, we'll call it, for lack of a better. The significant thing that I have learned, and we'll be talking more about it this morning with the CEO of SIH, Rex Buddy, is that with as many people are turning up with positive tests, that staffing some of the health departments and the hospitals is an increasing problem. You experiencing that problem too?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So COVID's hitting every business, every hospital, every restaurant. It's hitting every school, and it's creating that staffing issue. So when people are positive for COVID and they start getting more severe related health problems due to COVID, then you're increasing that need for an emergency room visit. So then you're starting to overload your hospitals, and that can create a potential issue in the near future.
You know, when you look at this, and your report, as I read it every day, one teenager, five in their 30s, three in their 40s, eight in their 50s, you see these numbers. One toddler, one teenager, age groups have really shifted, I think, considerably. But we were talking about staffing, and I know it was reported to me one police department here in Southern Illinois is asking for another town's assistance right now to cover their community because they have five or plus officers that have COVID. So we see this in different areas when it comes to its effect on people awaiting tests or being out because they're sick, not necessarily in the hospital, just because they're sick and spreading.
Sure, yes, absolutely. You know, it's hitting everyone hard. There's staffing shortages everywhere, and you have to call on people from all different areas to help with the staffing. And then again, you know, you don't want to pass that COVID on to those groups of people who are coming in and helping out. So it's a big mess right now. Because, again, you know, COVID is just, it's like wildfire. It's spreading everywhere.
Carrie, an interesting question. I think this is a good question from Mark from Elkville. He's always good for a question. He says, so at what level does everything close but essential businesses? What level is that?
Well, that is something that the governor and IDPH, they continue to look at our data and our metrics for each region, and they make that ultimate decision as far as closing different parts of the region. So that's a wonderful question for the state.
You know, it's interesting. Say one of the other questions coming in on the American Monument text line this morning saying, yeah, positive numbers are up, but death rates are decreasing. and that's what we should focus on. And I think that's it's more of a statement than it is a question, granted, but still true. We've done better when it comes to hospitalizations and treatments. The Grossman University Medical Study, I believe, said that hospitalization deaths started off at 24%, and now they're 7%. There is some good news in that category, but that's difficult to focus on when you had to issue a press release yesterday involving two deaths. But still, the person who's texting in does have a point. We are doing better when it comes to treating.
Sure, absolutely, but one death is too many in the realm of public health. So it's hard whenever we get that news that we've had a death, whether it's in Franklin or Williamson County. But the health department is doing what they can. We work cases 7 days a week all the time. And what's more important is, you know, when those positives name those close contacts, we need people to answer their phone.
What would you describe the morale at the health department as right now, especially after the number generated yesterday?
It's overwhelming. Our cases keep increasing. We haven't seen a decrease for quite some time, and it's very overwhelming right now.
Is there something you need you don't have?
Well, that's a good question. That's a really good question. You know, again, all of us are contact tracers. We've hired more contact tracers to keep our system in place as far as working cases, working those who need to be placed in quarantine. So, we just keep pushing along and we keep doing what we can.